Page 329, Book 17, Chapter 1. How Sir Galahad fought at a tournament, and how he was known of Sir Gawain and of Sir Ector de Maris. Now saith this story, when Galahad had rescued Percival from the 20 knights, he yede then into a waste forest, wherein he rode many journeys, and he found many adventures, which he brought to an end, whereof the story maketh here no mention. Then he took his way to the sea on a day, and it befell as he passed by a castle, where was a wonder tournament, but they without had done so much that they within were put to the worse, yet were they within good knights enough. When Galahad saw that those within were at so great a mischief that men slew them at the entry of the castle, then he thought to help them, and put a spear forth, and smote the first that he flew to the earth, and the spear brake to pieces. Then he drew his sword, and smote thereas they were thickest, and so he did wonderful deeds of arms, that all they marveled. Then it happened that Gawain and Sir Ector de Maris were with the knights without. But when they espied the white shield with the red cross, the one said to the other, "Yonder is the good knight Sir Galahad, the haut prince. Now he should be a great fool, which should meet with him to fight." So by adventure he came to Sir Gawain, and he smote him so hard that he clave his helm and the coif of iron unto his head, so that Sir Gawain fell to the earth. But the stroke was so great that it slanted down to the earth and carved the horse's shoulder in two. When Ector saw Gawain down, he drew him aside, and thought it no wisdom for to abide him, and also for natural love, that he was his uncle. Page 330. Thus, through his great hardiness, he beat aback all the knights without, and then they within came out, and chased them all about. But when Galahad saw that there would none turn again, he stole away privily, so that none wist where he was become. "Now by my head," said Gawain to Ector, "now are the wonders true that were said of Sir Lancelot du Lake, that the sword which stuck in the stone should give me such a buffet that I would not have it for the best castle in this world. And soothly now it is proved true, for never e'er had I such a stroke of man's hand." "Sir," said Ector, "meseemeth your quest is done." "And yours is not done," said Gawain, "but mine is done. I shall seek no further." Then Gawain was borne into the castle, and unarmed him, and laid him in a rich bed, and a leech found that he might live, and to be whole within a month. Thus Gawain and Ector abode together, for Sir Ector would not away till Gawain were whole. And the good knight Galahad rode so long till he came that night to the castle of Carbonek. And it befell him thus that he was benighted in an hermitage. So the good man was fair when he saw he was a knight errant. Then when they were at rest, there came a gentlewoman knocking at the door, and called Galahad. And so the good man came to the door to wit what she would. Then she called the hermit, "Sir Ulfin, I am a gentlewoman that would speak with the knight which is with you." Then the good man awaked Galahad and bade him, "Arise, and speak with the gentlewoman that seemeth hath great need of you." Then Galahad went to her and asked her what she would. "Galahad," said she, "I will that ye arm you and mount upon your horse and follow me, for I shall show you within these 3 days the highest adventure that ever any knight saw." Anon Galahad armed him and took his horse and commended him to God and bade the gentlewoman go, and he would follow thereas she liked. Page 331, Chapter 2. How Sir Galahad rode with the damsel, and came to the ship whereas Sir Bors and Sir Percival were in. So she rode as fast as her palfrey might bear her, till that she came to the sea, the which was called Culebe. And at the night they came unto a castle in the valley, closed with a running water, and with strong walls and high. And so she entered into the castle with Galahad, and there had he great cheer, for the lady of that castle was the damsel's lady. So when he was unarmed, then said the damsel, "Madam, shall we abide here all this day?" "Nay," said she, "but till he hath dined, and till he hath slept a little." So he ate and slept a while, till that the maid called him, and armed him by torchlight. And when the maid was horsed, and he both, the lady took Galahad a fair shield and rich, and so they departed from the castle, till they came to the seaside. And there they found the ship, where Bors and Percival were in. The witch cried on the ship's board, "Sir Galahad, ye be welcome, we have abidden you long." And when he heard them, he asked them what they were. "Sir," said she, "leave your horse here, and I shall leave mine," and took their saddles and their bridles with them, and made a cross on them, and so entered into the ship. And the two knights received them both with great joy, and each knew other. And so the wind arose, and drove them through the sea in a marvelous place. And within a while it dawned. Then Sir Galahad, off his helm and his sword, and asked of his fellows from whence came that fair ship. "Truly," said they, "ye wot as well as we, but of God's grace." And then they told each to other of all their hard adventures, and of their great temptations. Page 332. "Truly," said Galahad, "ye are much bounden to God, for ye have escaped great adventures, and had not the gentlewoman been, I had not come in here. For as for you, I weened never to have found you in these strange countries." "Ah, Galahad," said Bors, "if Lancelot your father were here, then were we all at ease, for then meseemed we failed nothing." "That may not be," said Galahad, "but if it pleased our Lord." By then the ship went from the land of Logris, and by adventure it arrived up betwixt two rocks passing great and marvelous. But there they might not land, for there was a swallow of the sea, a whirlpool, save there was another ship, and upon it they may go without danger. "Go we thither," said the gentlewoman, "and there shall we see adventures, for so is our Lord's will." And when they came thither, they found the ship rich enough, but they found neither man nay woman therein. But they found in the end of the ship two fair letters written, which said a dreadful word and a marvelous: "Thou man, which shall enter into this ship, beware thou be in steadfast belief, for I am faith, and therefore beware how thou enterest, for an thou fail, I shall not help thee." Then said the gentlewoman, "Percival, wot ye what I am?" "Certes," said he, "nay, to my witting. "Wit you well," said she, "that I am thy sister, which am daughter of King Pellinore, and therefore wit ye well ye are the man in the world that I most love. And if ye be not in perfect belief of Jesu Christ, enter not in no manner of wise, for then should ye perish the ship. For he is so perfect, he will suffer no sinner in him." Then Percival understood that she was his very sister. He was inwardly glad, and said, "Fair sister, I shall enter therein, for if I be a miscreature or an untrue knight, there shall I perish." Page 333. Chapter 3. How Sir Galahad entered into the ship, and of a fair bed therein, with other marvelous knights, marvelous things, and of a sword. In the meanwhile Galahad blessed him, and entered therein, and then next the gentlewoman, and then Sir Bors, and Sir Percival. And when they were in, it was so marvelous fair and rich that they marveled. And in midst of the ship was a fair bed, and Galahad went thereto, and found there a crown of silk. And at the feet was a sword, rich and fair, and it was drawn out of the sheath half a foot and more. And the sword was of divers fashions, and the pommel was of stone, and there was in him all manner of colors that any man might find, and every each of the colors had divers virtues. And the scales of the haft were of two ribs of divers beasts. The one beast was a serpent, which was conversant in Caledonia, and is called the serpent of the fiend. And the bone of him is of such a virtue that there is no hand that handleth him shall never be weary nor hurt. And the other beast is a fish, which is not right great, and haunteth the flood of Euphrates, and that fish is called Tenax. And his bones be of such a manner of kind, that who that handleth him them shall have no so much will, that he shall never be weary, and he shall not think on joy nor sorrow that he hath had, but only that thing that he beholdeth before him. And as for this sword, there shall never man begrip him at the handles but one, but he shall pass all other. In the name of God, said Percival, I shall assay to handle it. So he set his hand to the sword, but he might not begrip it. By my faith, said he, now have I failed. Bors set his hand thereto and failed. Then Galahad beheld the sword, and saw letters like blood that said, page 334, let's see who shall assay to draw me out of my sheath. But if he be more hardier than any other, who that draweth me, wit ye well that he shall never fail of shame of his body, or to be wounded to the death. By my faith, said Galahad, I would draw this sword out of the sheath, but the offending is so great that I shall not set my hand thereto. Now, sirs, said the gentlewoman, wit ye well that the drawing of this sword is worn to all men, save only to you. Also, this ship arrived in the realm of Logris, and that time was deadly war between King Labor, which was father unto the maimed king, and King Herlame, which was a Saracen. But then was he newly christened, so that men had him afterward one of the wittiest men of the world. And so upon a day it befell that King Labor and King Herlame had assembled their folk upon the sea, where this ship was arrived. And there King Herlame was discomfort, his men slain, and he was afeard to be dead, and fled to his ship, and there he found this sword, and drew it, and came out, and found King Labor, the man in the world of all Christendom, in whom was then the greatest faith. And when King Herlame saw King Labor, he dressed his sword, and smote him upon the helm so hard that he clave him and his horse to the earth with the first stroke of his sword. And it was in the realm of Logris, and so befell great pestilence and great harm to both realms. For sithen increased neither corn, nay grass, nor well nigh no fruit, nay in the water was no fish, wherefore men call on it the lands of the two marches, the wasteland, for that dolorous stroke. And when Sir King Herlame saw this sword so carving, he turned again to fetch the scabbard, and so came into this ship and entered and put up the sword in the sheath. And as soon as he had done it, he fell down dead afore the bed. Thus was the sword proved, that none nay drew it, but he were dead or maimed.